Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. This is Montana Talks. Open phones all show long. 406-294-0970. Let's go to Fred in the Flathead. Fred, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. I called him before. I'm like the California refugee in the California and the Tatry Mountains. There's been windmills since the 70s. When you drive through there now, it's just a boneyard of broken down old tiny windmills that are left there to rot. In between those are giant mega Opolis windmills. And now when you're out east of the desert looking back towards those mountains, it's just sparkle mountains of red lights, hideous. They are bad for the environment. I mean, maybe there's, if you want to buy one and put it up on your own property, go ahead. But hey, the Medicaid thing, I was wondering if there's any connection between, remember Montana at the session this year of the legislature, the first thing they did was increase Medicaid spending. And I think there's a benefit. Senator Ron Johnson was talking about how states benefit from increasing their Medicaid spending due to the matching funds and a bunch of fees and things that really don't have anything to do with increasing health care for so-called poor people. In the so-called Medicaid cuts in the big, beautiful bill, they're just reductions in growth, like always. So there's good and bad in the big, beautiful bill. It does add a lot to the deficit and the debt. It does rely a lot on dynamic scoring where they emphasize growth to help reduce the deficit. But historically, can you name a time when Congress has really made any real cuts? Any time in the past, including the Reagan tax benefits, tax growth of the economy, they just outspent that growth. So anyway, a little bit of a rambling list of things there.
Yeah, no, hey, where did you say you saw the decaying windmills? What was that location?
Tatchby Mountains, California, just east of the city of Tatchby. It's an area where that's the coastal range, the coastal mountains transition out to the desert, and it's a big air pump there, so it's consistently windy there. And, yeah, they make a little sense there, but they're huge and tall now, and they've really expanded over the last 10 years with all these subsidies and tax benefit scams for people that dump money into them.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. I mean, that's they've been there for 20 years, 25 years. I don't think we've had them in Montana for 20 or 25 years, so I think that's a good indication of where you go. On the Medicaid stuff, I don't know the answer to that. I know it's convoluted. I agree with sort of everything you were saying there, Fred, in terms of when has the government, you know, ever done anything wrong. The ridiculous thing about this whole thing is, like, Democrats think it's bad when people get jobs and get off of the government dole. I mean, I still remember I was guest hosting this show a couple of years ago, and the media had reported that, you know, like 30,000 Montanans or something had gotten off Medicaid, you know, because they'd gotten a job, you know, they didn't need it anymore. And the media was acting as if that was a bad thing, as if that's a terrible, terrible thing that people got a job and got off of the government dole. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I did read the rest of this a story by Jonathan Ambrarian about the Montana leaders preparing for these Medicaid changes. It's all good stuff. There's three or four sort of major changes here. The most basic of which is, like, just, hey, if you're going to want to have your neighbor pay for your health insurance, maybe you ought to at least be trying to get a job.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, a heat advisory in effect for Billings. For Bozeman, a slight chance for an isolated shower or storm into the afternoon. We'll have highs in the lower 90s. That slight chance for an isolated storm likewise for Billings into the afternoon, with highs closer to the lower 100s. For tonight, Bozeman dropping to the mid-50s, mid-60s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Almost lost amid the coverage of the closing of the Jeffrey Epstein case without any release and the Texas floods is a really important one, and that is President Trump saying how unhappy he is with Vladimir Putin. Going even a step further, he says he's a very nice on the phone, but then he feeds me a line of BS, and he didn't bleep it. I think he is waking up to the fact that not just that it is harder to get this war criminal to want to make peace with Ukraine. But Trump saying that he is now going to provide weapons, mostly defensive weapons, so the Ukrainians can defend themselves. That's a big deal. There was some talk that maybe somebody at the Pentagon did this, but Donald Trump says they have to be able to defend themselves. And that is a story that has geopolitical implications. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's your favorite guest host, David Noble, Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, LectureFan. You're not going to want to miss it. Yesterday during the show, Scott Aspenlighter had on some folks from the Bozeman area talking about how some dirtbags in Bozeman are trying to make the LGBTQ flag an official city flag, which I think just exposes themselves as the disgusting people that they are. But we got Sharon in Belgrade on the lines. Sharon, thanks for calling.
Yes, I had heard that there was going to be a meeting yesterday at the City Hall on Rouse, so I made a point of going in to go to that, and I and another person, he was a farmer from Four Corners, we were sitting there waiting and waiting, so he got online to find out why no one was showing up, and it was closed, and they had canceled the meeting. He said it was the second time he's been there to go to one of these meetings and let his opinion be known, and it's been canceled. I had contacted people and let them know about it. Said if you can't come, at least go online and state your feel, you know, what you think. So maybe if there's too much opposition, they just don't meet, you know, they close down.
Well, so interestingly, there was a story posted late last night at 11 p.m. late last night. The Bozeman City Commission will take up the issue of whether to make the Pride flag an official city flag. By the way, Pride is one of the seven deadly sins. Commissioners heard public comment Tuesday from residents on both sides of the issue. By adopting the Pride flag as an official symbol, blah, 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 blah. So they've got quotes in here like the Bozeman City Commission did actually hear comments yesterday.
Unless we were at the wrong address, we were sitting there waiting and nothing happened and it was closed. So
okay, here's,
he said he got online and
maybe they did. Yeah. Here's how the story ends, Sharon. It says the commission put this action item on their agenda for July 15th. So everybody listening in the Bozeman area, Gallatin Valley area, that I think is what you're going to want to go to is this July 15th agenda item. And of course, NBC Montana, of course, only has quotes in here from promoters. It literally has no quotes from anybody who was opposed to this thing. So Sharon, I don't know, maybe they only wanted to hear public comments from supporters, and they probably, I don't know. That's probably too conspiratorial, but this is coming. The real bizarre thing about this is, like, they're admitting who they are. They're literally saying that the LGBTQ agenda is our official agenda. They're exposing themselves. I can't believe they're doing this. They're proving everything we've been saying right. We've been saying for years and years and years that these radical leftists are obsessed with the trans agenda and the LGBTQ agenda, and that they put the priorities of promoting homosexuality and transgenderism over the interests of the city population, the county population, the state population, the national population. We've been accusing them of that for years, and now they're coming out and basically saying, yep, we admit it, you're right, we care more about promoting the LGBTQ extremist radical agenda than we do about the actual city. Because why else would you make the LGBTQ flag the official city flag? Unless you believe that that was your primary goal, that that was your primary concern. When you make it the official flag, you're saying this is what we stand for. This is who we're fighting for. This is who we're representing. This is who we work for. They're basically saying we work for the LGBTQ agenda. We work for the radical extremist homosexual agenda. That's what they're saying. Because guess what the official city flag was before they wanted to make it the pride flag? It was the city. It was the city of Bozeman. It was the city of Missoula. It was the city of Butte, Silverbow, County Silver, whatever they call it over there. I mean, when the official flag is the city, that means that the city council members are doing what's best for the city, are putting the city's interests first. They work for the city. When you make the LGBTQ flag your official city flag, you're basically sending the message that we work for the LGBTQ agenda. We work for the radical extremist sexual agenda. It's just crazy to see that they're actually straight up just admitting that, yeah, we were right. The conservatives have been right. The conservatives have been right all along. These Democrats care more about the LGBTQ agenda than they do about our own citizens. Let me go back a couple of calls to this Medicaid issue, because there's a couple of things I wanted to mention. First of all, Montana already had something called the community engagement requirement, which is frankly preposterous. It's 80 hours a month. You have to basically show that you were either working, looking for a job, or volunteering, which is, I think, why it's called community engagement, for 20 hours a week, 80 hours a month. And if you do that, if you just put in 20 hours a week doing volunteering or looking for a job, then you can have your health insurance paid for by your neighbor. Now, frankly, I don't want my neighbor to have to pay for my own health insurance. I'd rather just pay for my health insurance myself. I'm not one of these people that look to my neighbor to pay for my stuff like the Democrats do. But if you're going to do that, if you're going to ask your neighbor to pay for your stuff, the least you can do is volunteer or do something else. Here's the other thing. Apparently, Montana could not enforce those Medicaid work requirement or community engagement requirements because Biden wouldn't give them a quote-unquote waiver. I'm thinking, you need a waiver to ask people to get a job? What?
This is House Call for Health. Whether you love summer or not, medical experts say the hot weather can pose serious health risks. Besides heat exhaustion and heat stroke, doctors say sizzling temperatures can also increase the risk for asthma symptoms. Asthma is a disease of inflammation in the airway tubes of the lung. Heat worsens that inflammation, partly because heat can alter air quality. As one doctor explains it, hot weather can trap ozone and small particles of pollution lower in the atmosphere, leading to worse air quality. And that's a common trigger for asthma symptoms, which can include wheezing or a whistling in your breath, cough, shortness of breath, and chest tightness. One tip, if you have asthma and know there's extreme heat coming, try to stay indoors. Also stay properly hydrated, because dehydration can increase the thickness of mucus in the airways and worsen symptoms. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Montana Talks is the show where we get a chance to hear from leading statewide lawmakers. We also get a chance to hear from folks inside the Trump administration. But you know where our best information comes from? It comes from you. You get a chance to call into the show. You get a chance to be heard all across Montana, because the show is called Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can even call in at 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Montreal's is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
When U.S. Senator Mike Lee of Utah pushed to include a provision in the One Big Beautiful Bill to mandate the sale of some federal lands, farmers, ranchers, outdoorsmen, hunters, and public land advocates put up a fight. Colin Woodall is CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Well, Senator Mike Lee from Utah is no friend of American agriculture. So anytime Senator Lee has a provision that impacts us, we know it's probably not well constructed, definitely not well thought through, and definitely not something that's going to help us as producers. And a lot of the rhetoric around his amendment on federal lands was kind of right in line with that. But what it did allow us to do is talk about the importance of federal lands ranching, the ability to have access to these lands, to have these grazing permits, because we know that lands that are grazed by livestock, cattle in particular, are always healthier than those that are not. So it allowed us a great opportunity to just showcase what we do as stewards of these federal lands. And it's also important to remember just what a big part of American beef production comes from producers who utilize federal lands with these grazing permits. NCBA is a very proud member of the Public Lands Council. We share staff and will continue to work to make sure we protect the rights of producers to maintain these grazing leases.
Well, the provision to sell public land was removed in the reconciliation bill. Industry leaders say it's a reminder to stay vigilant when it comes to protecting working landscapes. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We've got a special guest in studio with us here. The chairwoman of the Yellowstone County Republican Party, Pam Purinton, former city council member here in Billings, is here in the house. We're going to be talking to her here shortly. First, we're going to go to the phones, though. We've got Goose in Anaconda. Goose, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. I got to throw out a few questions and statements here. One is, if you haven't heard of the Greater Israel Project, I highly suggest you look into that and see what that's all about. It also refers to the 7 wars in 5 years. It's another project Israel was working on for the last 20 years, you know, with the weapons of mass destruction that we never found and all that stuff. Now, most importantly, this Epstein thing, they're saying no clients. There was no clients. It was a blackmail operation. Everybody knows it. It spent the last 30 years blackmailing a bunch of high-profile people. Now, we also know Epstein's woman, Ghislaine Maxwell, her father was Robert Maxwell, who was the most prolific Israel Mossad spy on the planet. So we know that Epstein was working with Mossad.
I don't think we know that just because of something you said about just Lane's dad, but okay.
Okay. Well, if you follow the right people, do the right research, it's kind of common knowledge to people that have looked into it. But so we know that this is happening. Even Ted Cruz with Tucker Carlson admitted, yeah, we know Israel's spying on us for the last 50 years. It's okay. People spy on people. We've known Israel spied on us. Israel's got their handprints all over 9/11 with Larry Silverstein and all the 200 Mossad agents that were apparently art students that were working at night in the World Trade Centers for extra credit when we know that wasn't true. The dancing Israelis. So bottom line is, Israel's been blackmailing most of our Congress for many years.
I disagree with that one, Goose, I got to disagree with you on that one. Israel is one of the greatest allies in the world. They're one of our greatest friends. I fully support Israel. I'm so thankful that they're there. They deserve every right to exist. They've done nothing but positive things for America. They're one of our greatest allies and greatest friends. And I really, really question what the obsession is with Jews. I really sometimes do. But let's move on from that topic. We have got Chairwoman Pam Purinton from the Yellowstone County Republican Party. Chairwoman Pam Purinton, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for getting me up early so I can see the sunrise.
Yeah, so tell us, what is... What is going on with the Yellowstone County Republican Party these days?
Well, we've got a lot of different items on the agenda, but right now in the forefront that I wanted to speak with you about this morning is the idea that the central committees are the ones that are tasked with replacing an elected official. And with the tragic death of John Ossland, he had another year and a half in his term, so that's what we're in the process of doing.
Yeah, so can you, here, move the wire off of your mic. There you go. Put it this way. There you go. Okay, so now my understanding is that the Republican County Central Committee gets to choose three candidates to submit to the commissioners. Is that right?
That is correct. The process is, and it is governed by state statute, is that the Central Committee, which it means not just the executive board, but also all the precinct reps in Yellowstone County who have been elected in their precincts, they will come together on July the 16th, which is Wednesday. And we will have the, right now we have 10 applicants, and I'm thinking we're going to have 12 at least. Anyway, they will come together. Those applicants will share about 2 minutes of a quick resume of who they are and why they're running for this position or why they want to be in this position. And then there's a selection committee, three of them from our executive board, four of them are precinct reps that are in District 1. So those folks will be the ones that are ranking them. We'll go through two rounds. The first round, they will rank the ones that have given their resume, their two-minute resume, and then from there, we will have interviews, 10-minute interviews with the remaining. I am checking with Scott Twido. I think that we probably should have at least six, because if the commissioners don't like the first three choices, then we got to go to the second three choices.
If the Republican Party sends three, can the commissioners reject all the two commissioners? Can they reject all three?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's ranked choice voting at its best.
Okay. And it doesn't the Central Committee have a role to play when there's a legislative vacancy as well?
Those are the ones that we've normally done.
Okay.
I can't remember the last time we did a county commissioner, but we have done several legislative in the past 10 years.
And the Central Committee just gets to appoint them, or does that have to be approved by the commissioners or something too?
Commissioners have to approve that also.
But this is a good reminder of why folks should be getting involved in their county parties. And in the interest of full disclosure, I am an elected precinct representative here in Yellowstone County. Encourage other folks to get involved in their counties as well. Sorry, I forgot it was just a 30-second break there. Chairwoman Pam Purinton from the Yellowstone County Republican Party. Actually, we were just talking during the break about sort of the intricacies of this process. I guess, first of all, are you comfortable sharing the names of the applicants, or is that not public yet?
You know, we really haven't done that, because I think with first and second rounds, we just have not done that. And
okay.
I'm going to contact each one of them to let them know what the process is. We really haven't talked about it that much, but I'm going to share that process with them. Ask them to share maybe some local Republican recommendations, because we're replacing a Republican, so that's why the Republican Party Central Committee, that's why they're replacing, because you keep it within the party. And so, you know, they say that they're Republicans. Well, we want to know. And that's one way to do it, is to get other Republicans within the county to attest to that. Now, I guess if they know someone that's, you know, famous enough that we know that they're a Republican and they write in, you know, Donald Trump writes in and said, yeah, I'll take Joe Blow. Well, oh, that's a pretty good recommendation.
Right.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
And we do, our two current county commissioners are Republicans, I believe.
Correct? Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so that's going on in the Republican Party. When's the application deadline?
The application deadline via email is due at 5 o'clock Monday, the 14th. And the applications are online at yellowstonegop.org. All those applications come to me. I verify their addresses that they are within District 1 because we have to replace a candidate that is within District 1, which is basically Central Avenue, and it's spread out to just the very eastern edge of Lockwood, and it goes all the way out to Laurel. So the districts are quite large, but yet everyone in the county votes.
Yeah, that's a little weird how they do that. But
I know. Yeah, it is. But
okay, so we got the county commissioner vacancy here in Yellowstone County. What else is going on in the party?
Well, we just got back from convention, and you were there as well, representing Yellowstone County. And it was interesting. You and I actually served on the credentials committee, which was nice. I had not done that before. And they have a parliamentarian that they hire that comes out of Oklahoma. And he gives some really good insight because he knows bylaws, he knows convention protocol, he knows the whole thing. And so he's really nice to have there and to bounce ideas off. So we had also Terry Nelson from Ravalli County. I'm not sure exactly where he lives, but Jane Gillette, you and I, and there's one other person.
Yep.
Oh, and Bowen.
And the credentials committee credentialed all of the people that had their forms done right and had the boxes checked. And then there was some fireworks on the convention floor related to the credentials committee's report. And particularly these nine Rhino senators that the GOP had actually previewed. We'll talk more about that and take phone calls right after this.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. This is Montana Talks. So let's go to Tamara in Billings. Tamara, thanks for calling.
Yeah, so this insurance thing and this Medicaid thing, back in 2013, when I still had insurance, was getting some procedures done on me and on my son so he can go in the military. And then all of a sudden they decided they weren't going to cover. And that's when, after that, the cost of insurance went way up. Deductible went way up. And I said, see ya. And literally, over the years, if I would have had access that expensive insurance, I would have saved close to 100 grand. So I started living a healthier lifestyle, and then I ended up with a freak accident about a year ago, and because I was paying out of pocket, all of a sudden they were starting to work with me, cut all of my itemized bills down, and I had some really good doctors, by the way, and got a lot of stuff taken care of. And I still, by the time I get done with my injury, my mouth, I will still have netted because they all work with me. And because they have to itemize the bill now so they can't sneak in fees, I was able to save even more. Unfortunately, I have to go to Algodones, Mexico to get it finished for the bridges and crowns because it's just outrageous here. So I could have gone on Medicaid. I didn't. And instead, I work 70 hours a week, 3 months straight, just so I can continue to pay for this instead of do Medicaid. So, yeah, it's doable, and we need to get more and more people working out there that can. But what sucks is I have to go to Algodones, Mexico to finish the process because it's just outrageous here for the price.
Wow, good points all around, Tamara. Great points all around. Thank you so much for the call. Thank you so much for what you're doing. You're right. About the medical tourism to Mexico being a bigger and bigger thing because of the outrageous cost and price here in the United States. Lots of solutions to that, mostly that involves getting the federal government the heck out of the healthcare system, and you'd bring down costs to where actually people could afford it again. We're talking to Chairwoman Pam Purinton, and we were talking there, Pam, right before the break, kind of about the state convention, officers convention, and you were mentioning how we were on the credentials committee, and then when the credentials committee report went to the floor of the convention, there was a substitute motion, I think by Senator Barry Usher, to basically amend the report to basically credential everybody except the nasty nine. And then the convention voted to basically, what, eliminate them from the convention? Or how would you describe that?
Yeah, it was that in essence. To me, I will just say that what the Republicans did in that convention is that they did exactly what the nine and the Dems did. They completely ignored leadership. They completely ignored protocol. They rejected their bylaws. And so, were you and I completely put off by the nine? I think, you know, everyone in that room probably was, except maybe the nine or their proxies. But the point is that, you know, we have laws, by, even if they're just bylaws.
Right, they're still the rules. And bylaws say, without equivocation or hesitation, that if you're an elected Republican member of the legislature, you are a delegate to the officers' convention. There's no question about that under the bylaws, right?
Correct. And also the bylaws state that, and this is what was explained to us, which I didn't really realize, that what the credentials committee, what they said was the way that that convention should have been run, which was we said we would agree to accept all of those.
Their forms were filled out correctly, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, and we're not attorneys, at least some of us aren't, and we're not judges, because these have been tried in various district courts, and I think they've ruled in favor, I mean, you know, different things, but they basically have upheld either state statute or bylaws until those bylaws are changed by the majority. Right. And I think that was the thing that made me very sad, because my idea of what central committees should do, Democrats, Republicans have central committees. They basically are fundraising efforts to get their candidates elected. And that's the point. We should be working with our precinct reps, going out into our neighborhoods door to door. And those are the people, our voters are the ones that we need to educate. We don't need to judge what these legislators are doing at the time.
As
the party. Yeah, the voters elected them. And candidates can say anything they want to.
Now, you would also agree that those nine, they kind of deceived their voters, and they didn't obey the will of their voters?
Oh, yeah. And I agree with that. But the one thing I will say, too, and this is what, especially the far right, don't agree with me on this, I suppose, is that there are certain districts, whether they're House or Senate, or wards, or county commissioner districts, whatever. We have a diverse population in Montana. And for us to have a Republican, maybe on the more center rather than right of center, that you have enough people that are more in the purple area, so you have to have a Republican that can speak to that and represent that as well. I mean, that is the diversity, and I don't like using that word anymore because it's got a bad connotation.
But talking about genuine diversity of, like, thought and opinion, not just...
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, whether it's an ag community, whether it, just like in Billings, we have the refineries. I mean, we have a lot of variety within what our industries are in Montana that support Montana. I mean, the medical field here in Billings, it's huge. So you have to listen to all of that. You know, the y'all talking about Medicaid. Hey, I agree. It just irks me that insurance companies dictate to us our health care, because they can tell you, it's not good health care what they're dictating. And I've been going through that, and I'm not even a sick person.
Oh, I know. And then you basically have to be a lawyer to try to fight with them or appeal their little determinations, or to even understand a health insurance. I'm an attorney, and I don't understand health insurance. I don't think anybody understands how complicated and convoluted it's
very
gotten.
Much. But you get back to it, and my whole issue with everything, it's the voters. It's the voters who determine this. If you didn't like what your legislator did, get another candidate.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that bugs me. It's like people will elect these nasty nine, And then get mad at somebody like you because you're not as the party, you know, going after them and ripping them apart and tearing them to shreds. And it's like, well, hold on, we're the Republican Party. We're here to elect Republicans and support Republicans. The voters were the ones that put these Republicans in office. And so, you know, of course, but the state GOP did sort of censor them or sort of whatever you call it. And it's like, how much meaning does that have? Maybe educate, maybe a little bit of education. I like your idea of just getting more people involved at the precinct level and having your precinct people provide education. Absolutely. And of course, as a party, we don't get involved in the contested primaries because we're there to help Republicans. We're not there to take sides amongst, you know, primary battles between Republicans. But certainly providing a forum, providing education and information kind of helps the problem solve itself.
But you have to remember, there are a lot of Republicans that they want to do exactly what you said. That's not our job. I mean, they want us to vet candidates in the primary and support in the primary. There are some that are very, very adamant about that. And I keep saying, how can you do that and be assured that what you did? And I'm just going to take Gil Lammers. You know, Gil is a Republican. He serves in a very low-income tribal nation. You know, he's got a sect out there that he is representing. But he still is a Republican. You know, he has some conservative ideals, if you will. And he was vetted. He was, you know, people propped him up and everything. He just has a little piece of Yellowstone County. So we really didn't have anything to do with his campaign. And so I was not interested at all in joining the fight to have him censured or anything else. And I know the central committee chair over in Big Horn County, you know, I mean, he talked with Gil numerous times. There are a lot of people that talked with Gil, but the sad thing about it is that I think he got in with the wrong leadership. I mean, I truly do. And that's what I fault a lot of these people with. It was the leadership, and whether the leadership was not cohesive enough to guide some of these new people. And some of these new people, they were also propped up because they didn't want hard right representation in their districts.
Yeah.
And,
no.
we know who did that.
Who did that?
Well, our governor did it.
Okay. So, great points from Chairwoman Pam Purinton right there. Of course, this is in the news as well. There's a couple articles out here yesterday and this morning about what happened at the convention. I've got my take on it and what my concern was. Of course, like I said, there's nobody that's been more aggressive against the Nasty Nine than me, but there are bylaws.
Amazon Pharmacy presents Painful Thoughts.
I read somewhere that the average American spends 13 hours a year waiting in pharmacies for prescriptions. Clearly, I am above average. I thought being above average would feel better. Maybe I'll read some greeting cards.
Next time, use Amazon Pharmacy. We deliver. And here's to being anything but average. Amazon Pharmacy. Healthcare just got less painful.
Fox News commentary.
The Trump-Musk feud reignites over the America Party. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's time to take the quiz.
It's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
What is the name of the coffee shop in the sitcom Friends?
Mel's Diner.
Central Perk.
The answer?
Central Perk.
Either way, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox, then come back here to see how you did.
And thank you for taking the quiz.
The Trump-Musk feud took a couple weeks of hiatus, but it's back in action. The spat reignited in large part to the haphazard social media-fueled creation of what Musk calls the America Party, a new third-party designation for folks unhappy with both Republicans and Democrats. It's pretty evident Elon Musk sanctioned this new movement as a way to get back at President Trump over the passage of the big, beautiful bill that Elon has been vocally slamming for months. Well, over the weekend, President Trump put out a Truth Social post calling Musk a train wreck and eviscerating his third party as disruption and chaos. Trump took it a step further by reiterating Musk's overreach on both the EV mandate and his demand that his close friend, a Democrat, run NASA. He ended the post by reaffirming his commitment to protecting the American public as priority one. Not even the richest man in the world will deter President Trump from the mandate. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman.
For today, a heat advisory in effect for Billings. For Bozeman, a slight chance for an isolated shower or storm into the afternoon with highs in the lower 90s. That slight chance for an isolated storm likewise for Billings into the afternoon with highs closer to the lower 100s. For tonight, Bozeman dropping to the mid-50s, mid-60s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Hey, I know how it goes, man. You're driving around Montana. Maybe you're pulling the camper or something like that. You're going on a trip, but you still want to listen to your Montana news and commentary. Well, you can get all 4 hours of Montana Talks on the Montana Talks app. So whether you're in cell range or out of cell range, you just want something to listen to, all 4 hours of Montana Talks right there at your fingertips. Put it on your smartphone. It'll leave it.
Bridger, Harden, and Laurel, Town and Country Supply, rooted deep, growing strong. This is your co-op.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint, your favorite guest host. That's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan on Twitch, YouTube, and X. Got a message from Menace from Ennis. He says, regulations are set by the federal government and state government. Health insurance, homeowners insurance, business needs to profit. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. We need to deregulate insurance or go back to the pre-60s if no insurance companies. Yeah, not only deregulate insurance, but deregulate healthcare in general would and get the federal government out of it in general would be a huge benefit. I want to ask Chairwoman Pam Purinton of the Yellowstone Republican Party about what's going on with city council stuff or anything else. We got a few minutes with her. But first, let me just say, with respect to what happened to the Nasty Nine at the convention, my thought process was, number one, you know, voting on whether to kick them out of the party or to vote to change the bylaws about whether, you know, legislative members can be delegates. I didn't think that was necessarily properly noticed up on the agenda. I think it was inconsistent with our own bylaws. It was all of those things. And so I didn't necessarily, my concern was, is if you kick the nine out, and then you have any of these elections, like for the chairperson or whatever, and it was within nine votes, then the convention results could have been potentially subject to a challenge. And I just didn't think that was sort of worth it. Of course, I sort of take a different position when I'm here on the radio, just offering my personal opinions versus when I'm, you know, at the convention as the state committee man for Yellowstone County. Here on the radio, on my personal opinions, all, you know, disagree with the Nasty Nine and say that we should primary them and do all of that stuff. But when it comes to, hey, you're at the convention, you know, I'm just going to try to follow the bylaws to the extent I can. So that was sort of my position on it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what's going on? Do we have city council races, or what else is going on with the Yellowstone County Republican Party here? We got a couple minutes left.
Absolutely, we do. We have a mayor's race, four-way mayor's race. We have each ward has a candidate. We've got Ward 4, which is my ward, Dan Pitswell, who's been a conservative voice the entire time he's been on council. So he's running again. He's got two challengers. Then we've got, T.J. Rogers in Ward 3, who was appointed. She is running again, and I would love to see her get in. It is time for the city of Billings to have a fiscally conservative council. And once we get that, I think that people will see a change in how city government is run. How it functions. There is a Scott Aspenlighter, I guess he was on yesterday, and he's wanting to make the council smaller. I agree with that. I don't know what the magic number is, but we don't need two representatives in one ward. So
yeah, 11 members. I listened to Scott's show yesterday. I thought that was a great proposal to get rid of some of these city council members. Of course, the problem is it only saves us. It only saves the city $50,000 a year. I'd like to see proposals to save a lot more than that, but I think it's a great start to start reducing the number of city council members.
Well, and I agree with that it's only going to save the $50,000. And I get Scott's point to that, and I agree with that. But honestly, to get people to run for city council, It is, it's a low-paying job. It really, and it is a job if you do it well. And since they're only evening meetings, there's a lot of stuff during the day. I didn't work when I was on city council. So I, every day, I was gone 8 hours attending things or reading. I never thought I would read about subdivision regulations. And so, you learn so much. But I think, honestly, I think that $50,000 should go to the council members.
Yeah, no doubt. But you know what I love the most about it? It's finally a proposal to actually cut spending. I don't care if it's $1. Yep. I don't care if it's $5. Finally, something to actually cut spending.
I agree. And I think that's what, if you get a conservative council, you will see that.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals help fuel my love for acting. When people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.